foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I'd like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law, or by your believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it's written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that's been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. What I mean is this. The law, introduced 430 years later, does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it is no longer depends on the promise. But God, in his grace, gave it to Abraham through a promise. Why, then, was the law given at all? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. A mediator, however, implies more than one party, but God is one. Is the law, therefore, opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise.
Okay, let's have a look at this particular passage about grace, not law. Paul was under attack, under personal attack. He was criticized by some others as not being a true apostle, not really having the truth. The messenger, we heard last week from Tim in his introduction to this book, or this letter, the messenger was under attack personally. It's difficult sometimes to be a church leader because sometimes it's not only your message that's under attack, it's you personally that's under attack, and that can be a problem and a difficulty, and it was for Paul a challenge. But also the point he's making in this letter is that the whole message of the gospel, the vitality of it, was also under attack. It was devalued, taken away from grace, taken away from faith, taken away from all those things, and people wanted to come back to the law and keeping rules again. So it was devalued by pressure from those who added or returned to laws. So it wasn't so much that people were taking away from the scripture like we were looking at just a minute ago, but it was people were adding to it and saying, not only do you need to trust in Jesus, you need to do these things in order to earn your salvation, in order to become righteous. And the other thing that was happening was that the very words of scripture, the very law itself, the very Old Testament that they were facing, was in turn coming under attack. And I think today, don't you agree? The Bible is not regarded as the authoritative word of God in many churches, let alone in the world. It's not accepted very well in the world. The Bible itself, Scripture itself, is under attack. And yet for us as Christians, it's absolutely vital. Don't you agree? Absolutely vital to us. It's why we have small groups, why we open the Bible and we look at what the Bible has to say about our lives. But Paul was a man of certainty, a man of assurance. First of all, Paul knew his calling. He knew that he'd been called by God, appointed by God, chosen by God to be an apostle, a preacher, a pastor, to share the good news. He had a particular role. His particular role, and we saw that in chapter 2 last week, was agreed that he would be the one who would take the gospel to the non-Jews, to the Gentiles. And that wasn't an easy thing to do because, generally speaking, the Jewish people wouldn't have accepted that this message was for the Gentiles as well. There was a lot of prejudice in that area, and that was the challenge that was going on. And Paul eventually went to them and said, look, this message of the gospel, this good news is for everyone. I think, Tim, you made that point last week, did you not? Several times, it's for everyone. The message of the gospel is for everyone, the rotten, awful people out there, the people who are in prison out there, as well as for us, as well as for the nice people. It's for all of them. I'm not saying you're all necessarily that nice, but, you know, whatever, wherever you are, whatever background you're from, whatever country you're from, whatever kind of person you are, whatever you've done, the gospel message is for you because it's by grace. It's not by law. And Paul had discovered that. He discovered that when God met him on the road to Emmaus. He discovered that the very thing he was persecuting and hated was the very thing that was bringing truth and life for him and all around him. Paul knew his scripture. As a Jewish, growing up as a Jew, he would have been taught the Old Testament scriptures. He knew what they said. And through Jesus, he began to see them in a whole new light. And he realized that the message of salvation, the message of restoration, had always been through faith and trust. It had never been through law keeping. Because the laws that God had put in man's control, those laws that God had given to men were not keepable. You couldn't keep the law. It was impossible. And you know, the point about laws is you have to keep them all, the whole law, not part of it. It's no good if I get caught for speeding at 31 miles an hour and the man says, you've been done in a 30 mile an hour, I've broken the law. If I go through at 60 miles an hour, I've still broken the law. That's the point that Paul is making. You cannot keep this law. It's unkeepable, if there's such a word. I've just made it up. You can't keep the law. It can't be done. That's why God has always said the message is by faith. But later on we shall see why there was a law in the first place. But this message has always been. You've only got to go through the prophets in the Old Testament to find again and again God is telling Israel in the Old Testament to share this message with the nations. They are meant to be the kind of people that the nations looked at and said, well, if that's their God and he does that for them, I want to know about them. As Christians, I wonder if we're the kind of people that God looks at us, that people look at us, sorry, and they say, if that's a Christian, I want to know about their God. If that's a Christian, I want to find out about Jesus. If that's a person who lives for Jesus, I want to know him too. That's the kind of life that Paul is talking about in this letter. He's got a passion for the message, a passion for the gospel, a passion for freedom. He doesn't want people to be bound up in rules and laws. Laws are annoying, aren't they? Rules are really annoying. How many rules have you got in your life that are really annoying and, you know, remember when I was late for class at school, you're not allowed to run in the corridors, but I need to run because I'm late. But you knew there was a reason that law was in existence because you tripped over or fell over and all sorts of things. Laws usually have a purpose and a meaning, don't they? And they're there for a reason. They're there to guard our behavior, but we don't enjoy them. And very often, I don't suppose we all keep the rules, do we? I mean, if I went round to check how many of you have exceeded the speed limit this week, I wonder if you would, and I don't mean walking, obviously. I wonder how many would own up, or if you've broken the law of the land some way in some small form this week. Well, there might be one somewhere. I'm not going to really ask you, obviously. Unless you want to come forward and confess and be prayed for, that's absolutely fine. But that's possible. But seriously, right, okay, you've been here all day, did you say? All right, okay. The first thing we see in this letter, and we move on to the next one, I think, is the pastor's heart, the heart of Paul. Paul is an apostle. He's a pioneer. He was called by God to preach the message primarily to the Gentile people. But he was called to be a preacher. He went away for a period of time, we saw when we were looking at it in a small group on Thursday, to learn from God all about the reality of this message that he was called to preach. He was called to set up churches, set up groups of people who would listen and hear the message and grow up in the message. Paul was called to leave pastors and leaders in place in different towns and cities so that the churches would grow and establish. He was a pioneer, but he had the heart of a pastor, a heart of a leader, a heart who loved people. There's no doubt about that by the very tone that he's writing, and we'll look in a minute at the kind of a tone. But he said this about establishing churches in Ephesians 2, 19 to 20. He said, consequently, you are no, and he's writing to Gentiles here, primarily, he says, that's non-Jews. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people. You're included, he's saying. And members of God's household, built on the foundations of apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So he's writing to these people, he said, you are part of this thing that God has instituted. You're no longer as Gentiles left out. None of us are left out anymore. He says, with Jesus, you're all included. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that thrilling? Do you know, it's good to be included, isn't it? You ever felt left out of something? You know, when they picked the team of the football team and you didn't get in and all that. It's a horrible feeling, isn't it, to be left out. But the Bible says we are all included in Christ because we all come to Christ on the same basis. And this is the message of Paul in this letter. One of his key messages is you're all included. You are included in Christ. The message came to the family of God, the church, the people of God. There's one message, one people. Right at the end of Galatians, we'll find that. We'll come to that at the end, particularly, won't we, the last verse of Galatians. For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Paul had this vision as a pastor. Everybody is entitled to live in the freedom of Jesus Christ. Everybody is entitled to receive this message and receive the grace of Christ. Nobody has to be forced to obey the old laws that were there in the Old Testament. No longer are those laws necessary. Now grace is available to everybody. I think we got that message last week, Tim. Thank you very much. But it came across from what Paul says, isn't it? That there's freedom available, and Paul's heart is for these people to have freedom. Do you notice the way he talks? How does he talk to these people? He begins by saying this, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Strange message for a pastor, isn't it? Supposing I came to you one morning, you foolish people from Swathling, you're losing out, you're completely wasting your time, and you're a waste of space. Right, well, I'm not really saying that. I'm saying you'd be upset if I would be saying that. But he said, are you so foolish? You've gone on well. He wants his people to know the fullness of Christ. He wants these people to know what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Do you know, this is the heart that a pastor has. If God has really called a man to be a pastor and a leader of a church, he has a heart for people wanting to know the fullness of Jesus Christ. And that's an evangelist's heart sometimes, wanting to know the people in the world who don't know God, who've grown up without him, who've never experienced him in their lives. As a pastor, I want people to know Christ. I love people to come to Christ. I'd love people to come and receive that message and understand that it's by grace and not by law keeping. But also, as a pastor in this church, I want everybody in this church to know the fullness of Jesus Christ. I don't want you to be half-hearted in your faith. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Paul was not a perfect person, was he? He was an apostle, he was a leader, he was an ordinary man, but he was an ordinary man who understood the heart of God. And he said, the heart of God is for you to know freedom in your faith, for you to live by that freedom, not to be bound up in the laws that you are now making for yourselves that are no longer necessary. We'll look in a minute at what those laws were, but I want you just for a minute to think about that pastor's heart. How did he carry it out? Well, first of all, he went and he says he consulted with those leaders in the other parts of the church. He said, look, there's a problem here. We've got some people coming into this church who are saying that in order to be fully saved, in order to fully live the life of Christ, you have to go through these particular routines and particular ceremonies. You have to be circumcised as a man. We won't go into the details of that one. It's quite uncomfortable, apparently, because there's a good story in the Old Testament where they got a load of guys circumcised in order to defeat them in a battle, but that's another story. You'll have to read that sometime. It's really quite a fun story. But seriously, they had to go through that ritual. And also they had particular days that they celebrated and lots of rules and regulations. And you know, you get tied up in those in the end. You think, oh my goodness, I can't think. What have I got to do today? What's this day? What's I got to do? He said, you're not meant to be tied up in those regulations anymore. They were for a particular time and a particular reason. Now you have freedom in Christ because of what Jesus has done. And you see in this chapter particularly that everybody going back to Abraham was looking forward without knowing it completely to Jesus Christ when this freedom would come. So the pastor's heart is for them to know and live in freedom, for the message to be known. And so he says to them, you're foolish, you're crazy, you're bewitched, you're under a spell. These are pretty strong words, aren't they? But they come from the heart of a man who knows the heart of God for us to live in freedom and us to know the freedom of Christ in our lives, to walk with Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean, by the way, as we've seen in a minute, to abandon certain kind of rules and certain kind of lifestyles, but it does mean to recognize that we are saved by God through the grace of Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ, and that's it. Tim said something to us last week. What was it? Jesus plus nothing equals the gospel. There's nothing to add to Jesus. He's done it all. And this is Paul's message again and again through this passage. Jesus has done it. He set you free. So, what does he say in chapter 3 about the law? Let's go on to the next one. He says the law is spiritually useless. Paul says to this church, he said, look, you started well. I came and I preached. You received the gospel. And then when you received the gospel, the good news of Jesus, you believed in Jesus, you believed that he died for you, you believed he died for you on the cross, and took your sin on the cross, you took that in on board as a belief. Then he said you began to go on because the Holy Spirit came into your lives to indwell you, the Holy Spirit came onto you to empower you, and you started to live well as Christians, you started to live in the freedom of God. And then somebody else came along and whispered in your ear or shouted in your ear and said, look, this isn't enough. You need some rules. You need to be circumcised. You need to observe particular feasts and particular days. And they started to find there were a whole load of rules that they were being asked to obey by these infiltrators into the church. And Paul said, why are you going backwards? Christ set you free from all that. There's no longer necessary for all those rules and laws. Now you're free and you're in grace. And you're wasting your Christian life because you're not living in the freedom that you could be living in. Surely, he said, you received the Holy Spirit for something better. Another message had reared its head in the church. A group had arisen within the church and from outside the church that was spoiling the freedom that they had. They said, if Gentiles are to be Christians, they must also follow the laws. They must be circumcised, follow the customs, regulations, special diet, special days, etc. All of these things you must follow to be real Christians alongside your faith. So what laws were these? Well, first of all, when you first read them, you might think he's talking about the Ten Commandments. But he's not talking about the Ten Commandments, because as we saw a few weeks ago when we studied the Ten Commandments, did we not? Do you remember that? Several weeks we looked at the relevance today of the Ten Commandments. They are still very relevant as a guideline for life. They're not something that we have to keep in order to be saved. We're saved by grace. But when we're saved by grace, we have the strength to live by those standards. Does that make sense? We are given the grace in order to be able to live. So the Ten Commandments are not what he's talking about. They are still equally relevant. It doesn't mean that we can go out and start committing adultery and killing people. It doesn't mean that those laws are laid by side. That's not the ones he's talking about. He's talking about the Jewish ceremonial laws, the ceremonial requests such as circumcision, such as special days and special diets. You remember the vision that Peter had? Peter had a vision. Was it a sheet coming down with all those animals in it? And the voice of God said to him, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And he said, but I can't. Those things I'm not allowed to eat. And God said to him, look, what God has sanctified, don't you make unclean. You can now do this because these laws are no longer needed because of grace. And Peter, that was when Peter began to realize that this message was for the Gentiles as well as for the Jews. It all began to open up by grace. So is faith and understanding something new in the New Testament? Do we not get any faith and understanding until we come to the New Testament? Paul is also saying in this passage, he's saying also a number of times that the law cannot save. He says, those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. So if we rely on keeping the rules for salvation, we're wasting our time. He says in verse 11, clearly no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous shall live by faith. Hang on a minute, Paul says. It's always been true that salvation and righteousness has come by faith in God, hasn't come by law keeping. So they must have started saying, well, what on earth were all those laws about? What on earth were they for? Why were there laws? Because now it's, in chapter 3, verse 13, he says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So the law had said we were guilty, but Jesus took on the burden instead, the penalty for it. And he said, it is written, curses everyone who's hung on a tree. Didn't Jesus die on a cross for us? So that he took our... Jesus on the cross finally took on himself the consequences of law breaking and took the curse so we didn't have to. It's all about Jesus. And that work of Jesus went backwards as well as forwards. So it referred to Abraham as much as it did to us. So Paul's heart as a pastor is to see people living fulfilled, free lives, not just bound up by laws, but by understanding freedom and understanding that that law was there for a particular reason in the past. So we move on. It's always been true that salvation, living for Christ, has been by faith and trust in God. Abraham wasn't justified because he kept the law. He was justified because he trusted God. And we are now, through this faith, made the people of God. Do you know you're the people of God? You're a child of God, individually, personally. Isn't there a song we sing about that? I am a child of God. It's true. It's said again and again. I belong to him not because I've kept the rules. If you'd have been only a child of God because you kept all the rules, would you be a child of God today? No, of course not. You know you're not. But it's through the grace of Jesus, through the cross. Paul says the original promises from God to Abraham are fully fulfilled in Jesus. So he's talking about promises that were made to Abraham, reflected on to Jesus coming to take the punishment and deal with the consequences of the law breaking so that we could be set free. So why were those laws in place, he says, in the first place? The first thing that law does, it shows up sin. If you have no law, you can have no sin. Is that true? Because if there's no laws, you can't break laws, can you? You still have got sin inside you. That's quite right. But laws basically demonstrate what sin is. If you have a set of, you can do this, you can do this, but you can't do this. You know when you've broken the law. So in the first place, it showed us up as being law breakers. But secondly, they were a temporary reminder of what God needed to produce in us. So Paul says they're a temporary reminder of what God needed from us. God needs us as his people to be holy. How can we be holy? Well, Paul says you can't be holy, you can't be God's people by law keeping. So God actually gave laws to show that that wasn't possible. Because you looked at the law and you said, but I can't keep all that. I can't do all that. How on earth am I going to become the people of God? And God says, by faith, by trust. Because of Jesus, who's coming in the future, it was for Abraham, who's coming in the past for us. So, if the law fails because we can't keep it, is it opposed to God's promise? If God has made a promise of salvation in the past, he says in this letter, does it now mean that because we've all failed the law, we've lost out? No, he says, because the laws will never save, but the grace of Jesus Christ is provided instead. Because we can't keep the law, the grace of Jesus steps in and we receive the grace of God. We are saved and we are the child of God. We can live in God's way. Isn't this exciting? Isn't this thrilling? The law is useless to save. Faith in Jesus Christ is in the thing that saved us. And Paul wants to say this again and again and again. And because he has the heart of a pastor, he gets annoyed with the people. He says, you're wasting your life if you're just going out to keep all the rules. And of course, why was he so angry with Peter? Did you remember in chapter 2 last week, Tim was talking to us about? He was angry because Peter compromised. Sometimes he kept the law, and he did it to impress. He did it to impress the Jewish party. He tried to, do you know the expression? You can please some of the people some of the time and all of the people some of the time, but you can't please all of the people all of the time. And Peter was trying to do that. And he was failing miserably. And Paul caught him up and he said, Peter, you've got to be honest and recognize that this gospel is now by grace completely for all people. And there's no need for this circumcision. So let's look at the final verses of those two, of chapter 2 and chapter 3, which really talk about this fantastic freedom that we have in Christ. Listen to this. I assure you, chapter 2, verse 19. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. See, forgetting about the law, putting the law to one side, putting that rules and regulations to one side, Paul says, now I'm going to live by faith. Now I'm going to live by grace, by faith in Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ. My old past is gone and done with and dealt with and forgiven. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. He didn't die for nothing. He died for me and he died for you. He died so that we could be set free and live in the freedom. And the final verse of chapter 3 says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There's a whole new era, an era of grace. It's always been there. There's always been faith. It's always been response to God. It's always been by grace and by faith. But now the law is no longer needed. The law was simply something that showed us what was wrong, showed us what the problem was, showed us what God required. But that law was fully met in Jesus Christ. And he is now offers us his grace to receive, to become his people. And now we can live in him. There are things we will do. There is a lifestyle we will take on board. But we won't take on that lifestyle because I need to please God, because I need to get right with God. We will take on that lifestyle because I am right with God. And now I can live by the standards of the Ten Commandments. I can live by God's standards because I have what within me? The Holy Spirit. This is what comes by grace and faith. I can now do it. I don't have to keep those old laws and regulations, but I do have to live for him. But I can live for him because the old me's dead, stuck on the cross, gone, finished. There's a new me who is filled with Christ. Isn't this exciting stuff? Isn't this thrilling stuff? We can live in freedom. And Paul says, I so much want you silly, silly people in church who are so stupidly casting aside the real message. You're so stupid, I want you to really understand. So if I ever call you stupid, I hope it's for the right reasons, but I won't. But seriously, this is what Paul seems to have been saying. Why have you got pulled away? Why have you got strayed away? Why have you lost it to these rule keepers? And you can sense his intensity, can't you? I could sense it coming through when Tim was preaching last week. You could hear the intensity of the pastor's heart coming through that message. A pastor's heart fires these letters. Laws are useless for salvation, but faith in Christ brings life and salvation. Let's sing our next song before we go on to the time of prayer. Only by grace can I enter.